And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus Christ took with him three of his disciples, Peter, John, and James, separating them from the other disciples, and they went up on the mountain to pray, not knowing why they were separated from the others, and surely having no idea what they were about to see and experience. The disciples followed their Lord. As we begin to contemplate this, we should remember that at a later time in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus separated himself from the others a short ways and asked them to remain vigilant in prayer while he prayed. Especially, it seems, he wished for St. Peter to remain vigilant, to watch and to pray. But returning to the disciples at that Gethsemane garden, they were found asleep. And at that later time, Jesus, in what cannot be described by any other word than annoyance, spoke to Peter, saying, "Could ye not watch with me for 1 hour?" Perhaps in that Gethsemane garden, it was not so much that the disciples had fallen asleep, but rather that this had already happened one time before. On that earlier date, that Transfiguration Day that we celebrate today, Jesus took three disciples to the mountain with him to pray, Peter being amongst them. And each one of them, weary with travel, succumbed to the weakness of the flesh and fell asleep. Meanwhile, Jesus, after praying long enough for the others to drift off, underwent a change in his appearance. In prayer and in close contact with the Father, Jesus was transfigured. The scriptures say his appearance changed and his raiment was white and glistering. Readers of the Bible might have no really way to understand what this transfiguration could mean if it were not for the story of Moses ascending Mount Sinai to pray and receive from God the law. The scriptures appointed for morning prayer, the Old Testament lesson for this morning, says this, Exodus 34, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." Now Jesus, having ascended the mountain to pray, went not alone this time, but brought disciples with him, so that he would not descend from the mountain in a mystery as Moses did, but there would be witnesses to see what had transpired there. Perhaps it was that Jesus wished for just a few of his disciples to return as witnesses to the transcendent heights available to them in prayer. Perhaps he meant for them to witness what it meant to leave all other interests aside and commune with God in radiant abandon. Perhaps he meant for them to see that to commune with God is to commune also with his saints and holy ones. When they awoke, they finally saw such a sight as could hardly have been believed. Peter and James and John awoke from their inattentive sleep to see Jesus radiant and glistering brightly, speaking with none other than Moses and Elijah, the law-giving patriarch and the prophet of prophets. And as the disciples rubbed asleep from their eyes, they overheard what the conversation was about. The three, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, the law, the prophets, and the Messiah, spoke of the decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Unfortunately, the word in English, decease, does not communicate the sense of what was the nature of that discussion, I don't think. Other translations use the word departure, that the three spoke of the departure that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. But it was not simply death that they spoke of. That word would be thanatos. But the word that we take as departure or decease is a significant one, and in Greek, even a familiar one. The word that St. Luke uses is exodus. When the disciples awoke to find Jesus transfigured in glorious prayer, communing with not only God, but with two of God's most special chosen ones, Moses, who knew more than anyone about the Exodus, and Elijah, whose exodus from this world was accomplished by crossing the Jordan and ascending into heaven in chariots of fire, they heard Jesus speaking with Moses about how he was going to fulfill the Exodus. They heard Jesus speaking with Elijah about how he would fulfill that ascent into heaven. And if that was not enough, they were then enveloped in a cloud all of a sudden, and a voice from heaven was heard, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Jesus was frustrated with St. Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane for falling asleep in the hour of watch and prayer when the hour had come for Christ to suffer. Because of all people, St. Peter should have known the significance of what was about to happen. Moses led the people of God through an exodus out of the bondage of Egypt, across an impassable divide of the Red Sea to the Promised Land. And yet this great deed was only a shadow and a type, even a premonition of the exodus that Jesus was about to lead. Peter had seen the transfigured Christ speaking with Moses and Elijah in transcendent mystical wonder and overheard the words that they spoke concerning an exodus that Jesus was about to fulfill. For Jesus was about to lead the people of God not from the bondage of Egypt to a strip of land between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River, or even from the oppression of the Romans to some new political triumph, but from bondage to sin and hell and Satan across the river of Jordan in death to new life, to ascension into the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Now that's an exodus. Jesus Christ, the King himself, was about to fulfill. And yet, those who were about to see the day that the prophets and kings and patriarchs had longed for centuries to see but did not see, those who were about to be freed were found sleeping. This is a bad sermon to fall asleep in, so. But God is merciful, and the followers of Christ are followers indeed. In the passage just before this one, Jesus had taught, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." St. Peter was not yet ready at this time to bear a cross. St. Peter had witnessed what prayer could be like when, with complete abandon, the Son of God ascended the mountain to pray and in transfigured glory communed with the Father and with saints concerning the exodus he was about to fulfill. And St. Peter was not ready for his own exodus. And he had heard the voice of God from the fearful cloud say that day in an audible voice, "This is my beloved Son." St. Peter was not ready to have those words spoken about him. But he was a disciple and a follower of Christ, and he was being prepared to follow Christ indeed. Many Christians are very grateful for stories about St. Peter in the Gospels because he seems to make so many mistakes. And when his faith falters, we feel better about ourselves because our faith sometimes falters. But Peter was in his infancy here, falling asleep, running away, denying Christ, trying to protect himself. But Peter's failure is not the reason you should take heart about Peter. Take heart that Peter, this follower of Christ, would finally mature. Years later, St. Peter would write to new followers of Christ about the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've heard from 2 Peter today, the good news. And he could do this because St. Peter had laid aside his immaturity in time and took up his cross indeed. Listen now to the epistle of St. Peter appointed for the Feast of the Transfiguration. Hear how he speaks in very familiar words, even words he overheard at the Transfiguration. Hear how this one who, though invited to draw near, had slept through the two most important prayers of our Lord, and hear how he's not sleeping now. Hear how he was not clinging to his own life and his own safety and his own prosperity. Now, hear what this mature follower of Christ says to those who are yet slumbering. St. Peter writes this, "I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up." Imagine that. Peter, the sleeper, is now writing to those who slumber and saying, "It is meet for me to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that I shortly must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me," this man who fled to protect himself, who feared death, now is ready. "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease," and the word he uses is Exodus. It's only used three times in the New Testament, once in Hebrews, referring to the actual Exodus in Egypt, and once by Jesus, and repeated and imitated by Peter, now ready. "Have these things always in remembrance." St. Peter, who had fallen asleep, writes to stir up the followers of Christ. And St. Peter, who once had feared for his life and denied his Lord to avoid the risk of personal harm, now takes it as a matter of course that having taken up his cross, soon he should die as Christ had shown him. St. Peter, who had heard Jesus speak with Moses and Elijah about his exodus, was now ready for his own exodus, and even called by the same name. He goes on to say, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." When Christ was transfigured, just a few of his few disciples saw it and didn't dare to speak of what they saw. And though they saw this heavenly reality before their eyes, yet there were more times when they fell asleep when he prayed and even denied that they knew him and ran away from his presence to save their own lives. The Feast of the Transfiguration is primarily about Christ, the Son of God, but there is a message here about the conversion and maturation of St. Peter. And the message, I think, is a good one for us today. For he was a man fearing for his life who was converted into a man ready for his exodus. He was a man who wouldn't speak of what he saw at the Transfiguration for fear of being misunderstood or not believed. Converted into a man who spoke and wrote openly of the glory of God in an epistle read for 2,000 years. Peter was a man who denied the Lord and fled, who was now converted into a witness, even a martyr for Christ. St. Peter saw Jesus transfigured, fully open to the Holy Spirit in prayer, fully communing with God and man. And not long afterwards, St. Peter was opened himself to the Holy Spirit and abandoned himself to God without reservation. This Peter, who had slept as his Lord prayed in the Spirit, now prayed in the Spirit and urged others to be awakened and stirred up. In the story of the Transfiguration, we see a scene of Christ in mystical union with the Father. In St. Peter, we see the scene of an immature man changed into a true follower of Christ. And now knowing that we must soon put off our tabernacle, that our own exodus must be accomplished and fulfilled before long, may we too not only see Jesus and then return to our slumber, but rather be stirred up and join him in tireless prayer. May we see the cross that Christ has given for us to carry in our own lives and carry it bravely, without reservation and shrinking back, each person's cross being different, so that we may truly be called followers of Christ. May we no longer fumble around in immaturity, even preferring immaturity, in slumber and self-interest, but understand what it is to be Christ-like in the context of our own lives. And may the joy of the Lord be known to us even today, as St. Peter knows it now in the very presence of God, that above all the changes and chances of this world, the words of the Father spoken about Christ will also be spoken about us who dwell in him. Behold, my beloved daughter. Behold, my beloved son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.